superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Maybe Matt Nagy knows what he's doing.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Third down at 10 for Nick Foles. Back to his right. Coming over the middle. Incomplete. First and intercepted. Step. Blackman's got it.
Heard nationwide. Televised online.
You know what? I got to be more accurate. It was probably about 6 inches too far.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show. From NBC Sports. Peter King. Coming up. Host of NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers. Plus, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're here live in Los Angeles, California. We say hello to our Peacock viewers. We are exclusively right here on the streaming service right after Dan Patrick leading you to Brother from Another to talk about everything going on in the sports world. And I'll tell you what, a day like today and a night like tonight is exactly what we were hungering for in the worst way when everything shut down back in March. We were on the air streaming just on our YouTube stream at the time. We're no longer live on YouTube, but everything that we do here is on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, to follow us. And I'll tell you, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got some time to take your phone calls here today. We were wondering, you know, when Rudy Gobert tests positive for the Utah Jazz in Oklahoma City, and fans were piling into the arena, and they sent them home, and then the NBA shut down the day after. The Ivy League, by the way, was the first to say we're not going to do our basketball tournament, and then the NCAA decided after starting the Big East tournament to send everybody home from Madison Square Garden and stop March Madness, and baseball stopped preseason, and everything stopped. Wondering when things would come back. Would they come back? And thank goodness they're coming back. As you know, the Stanley Cup has been awarded. The Larry Francis O'Brien Trophy in the NBA looked like it was going to be handed out Tuesday night, but it shall not be handed out Tuesday night because Jimmy Butler personally decided that it shall not be handed out Tuesday night with what he did last night. A 40-point triple-double. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. The first, by the way, 40-point game in the NBA without a single three-point shot being utilized in those 40 points since Shaq's 40-point night in 2002.
Ooh, good stat.
No three-pointers. Jimmy Butler, all from the field, all from the free throw line, all without two other crucial players of the Heat, all with everything on the line. And in terms of triple-doubles in the finals with a 40-point night, all three people who have done that in the history of the NBA Finals were represented on the floor last night. Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, and Jerry West, the logo in the middle of the floor.
Nice.
That's it. That's the list. Jimmy Butler. Oh, groaned up.
Did you see the other stat? Jimmy Butler, first player to outscore, out-rebound, out-assist LeBron in a finals game, including LeBron's teammates.
Wow. That's the guy that the Bulls thought was going to be their guy and hoped it could be their guy. And obviously the Timberwolves and the Sixers, and he just had to go to Miami, take his talents to South Beach, and look what he's doing right there.
That's why Big Face Coffee stock is up right now.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, everybody. So there will not be a coronation on Tuesday night.
Not yet.
A lot of talk of LeBron leaving the floor with 10 seconds to go.
Not a good
look.
Come on. I agree with you, Rich. What's the big? Come on.
Please. He stood in the tunnel
as the clock was winding down.
Yeah, you mean you think the game's over? You start
and the ref stopped it. The ref stopped it, saying we need five on the floor. Shouldn't Frank Vogel have done like a Normandale and say my team's on the floor? Right? The shot clock expires and they need five on the floor.
Or just stand on the court for 10 more seconds.
What are we doing?
It's just stand on the court. Brockman just text me like you didn't even shake hands. Who's shaking hands after
Nobody
these
is.
Games, bro? Nobody's shaking
hands. It's okay.
Hands.
Honestly.
Shoulder pop.
You know who we'll ask later on? Stephen A. Smith. What'd you think of that?
Yeah. Well, he won't even talk about that. All he's going to talk about is the Cowboys.
No. I'll bring up the NBA Finals with Stephen A. Smith. Why wouldn't I do something like
that? Can we not talk about the Cowboys?
Absolutely not. No. We're okay, totally the reason why we're coming on. Do you have this, Don? Let's play this here because this is
it's tremendous. Play it
because, you know, honestly, when the Dallas Cowboys, you know what, the bed. The first thing I do is check in on Michael Irvin, and then the second thing I do is check on Stephen A. Smith's Twitter feed.
I notice you don't check in on me, and we work together.
You know what? I just looked down at the text exchange, and I saw what was going on flying between
your fanhood all, also should be drawn into question. You're talking about being a fan free agent next year.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
To quote Ed Reed again at halftime, I'm hurt, dog. I'm hurt. Okay?
Just saying, man.
I'm hurt.
It does speak of somebody who is hurt when you say I'm a free agent for all my teams after the Clippers did what they did. But the Sixers got Doc because the Clippers did what they did. So, you know, it's a kind of a win, you know, lose. Even if you lose, you win, to use the phrase from Raging Bull.
Or LeVar Ball.
When I lose, I win. So, at any rate, I check on Stephen A. Smith's Twitter feed because I know he's going to give the people what they want, which is him, wherever he is in his house, reveling in the Cowboys' misery, and then, of course, telling everyone to tune in tomorrow for First Take. This was Stephen A.'s gloriousness yesterday.
The pan.
The pan. How y'all doing? 49 points.
Look how many views.
That's what the Cowboys gave up to those Cleveland Browns. 49 points. Hold on, I'm eating my chocolate chip cookies. Hold on. Listen. Got my milk, too.
He's got his milk,
got
too.
Got my milk, too.
Oh.
I only got one thing to say to y'all. How about them Cowboys?
Let's give people what they want, Stephen A. That's it. It's simple. It's a simple construct. Oh, man.
Amazing. Next level.
I want to know where you got that cookie.
It's our first day here exclusively on Peacock, and we're wasting...
No. I'm just wondering, is it born out of hatred from Hollis, Queens, or is it just all those years in Philadelphia? Where does the Cowboys animus come from?
He did sit across from Skip.
That's true, too.
Notorious Cowboys fan, very good.
Yeah. You know what, Brockman? You just made sense.
It's definitely a Skip.
It's amazing, whatever it is. It's working. It's tremendous.
I mean, but again, we were hoping for a night like tonight, which is in between games of an NBA Finals, coming off of a weekend in which, we lost our shirts on a Triple Crown race.
Didn't go well.
But we still saw the Preak mistakes right here on our family of networks on NBC.
By the way, second fastest time ever in the Preakness.
Of us losing our money?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Well, of all time to Secretariat. So, fantastic race. Yeah.
And then, you know, second round of Major League Baseball playoffs going down tonight. And two games in the NFL. All of it on a Monday where we're talking about what happened on the weekend, including that Dallas Cowboys latest destructo performance by a defense that is in dire straits. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman, do you have our regular Monday overreaction Monday segment? Let's tee that one up. Seth Meyers of Late Night with Seth Meyers, not just on NBC Late Night, but You can watch Seth Meyers live right here on Peacock every night at 9 Eastern time. So before it airs on network television, you could see it right here. And then, of course, Stephen A. Smith will join us in Hour 3 to give us the real McCoy. Now time for Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do we have over there?
All right, let's start in Chicago, guys. You know, the Bears turned to Foles too soon. Threw a late touchdown, but did not look good yesterday.
I'll say it's overreaction. He looked terrible, man. Yeah. And I honestly thought, I tweeted out during the game yesterday, that this had a he's going to turn back to Trubisky vibe. But he can't do that just yet. Foles looked just old, and the offense looked stale, and they couldn't get anything going. And I think we might find out at some point that you tip the cap to the Colts defense and what they are becoming right now.
They look good.
They did look good, and I still don't know what to make of the Colts, but I might be something to talk about later on here. This is a Bears conversation. I'll just say for the moment, it is an overreaction.
Okay.
It did help them get the win in Atlanta. They are have the crooked number 3 in the win column because of it, as opposed to the crooked number 2. Let's see what happens on Thursday night short week with Tampa Bay. Talk about a great week 5 kickoff coming up on the family of networks, Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime. So we'll see. I'll just label that an overreaction for the moment.
Terrible. Let's talk about the Lions, guys. Did you see this stat? 6th a 10-plus point lead by the Lions. Matt Patricia, we asked Peter King about it. He's not going to last this season.
I still think that the Lions will come up with some W's, and in short order. Detroit has a bye week, so they come out. They are at Jacksonville. They're at Atlanta. And then Indianapolis is going to be a tough one. I don't think he's going to eat it during the season unless they go 0-8 and 0-9, 0-10. And because I pointed out to Peter before, the reason why you fire a coach in the middle of a season is because your fan base is so angry and so upset that they're voting with their feet. And there are no feet coming into the stadium, and there are no fannies in the seats in most stadiums, and you're not hearing it in the stadium. You're not sitting in your owner's suite hearing it from the fans screaming at you as you're leaving or coming in. So, circumstances are bad. Plus, also, I don't think in the era of COVID you're going to want to change anything of your protocols. Nothing. And that also includes the coach. Or it's going to have to be so dire to fire your coach in the middle of a season. So for that respect, I'll say overreaction.
Okay.
But, you know, with him and Bill O'Brien, it's just the latest example. Check your hiring. You're just hiring people who learn at his knee or in his system. And it doesn't appear to be translatable in the short term or even in the long term, respectively, for Detroit or potentially Houston. So I'll label that an overreaction for the moment. Chris.
Let's go to Cleveland, guys. The Browns have the number one rushing attack in the NFL.
Yes.
The Browns are making the playoffs.
You know what? With the 7th seed sitting out there and the Cleveland Browns having a schedule that doesn't appear to be all that difficult because they're playing the NFC East, which is there's some wins right there. And, you know, they take on the Jets later on in the season with a running game like they're doing. And if the Odell Beckham is alive and the offensive line looks good, I'll say that's not an overreaction. And I know they lost Chubb, but the kid, you know, the Ernest Johnson looked pretty damn good. I'll take him. I might be picking him up in fantasy this week.
Yeah, so did Kareem Hunt. He looked awesome.
With a 7 seed out there, I think Cleveland should make the playoffs. A 3-1 team has the opportunity to do it when you've got a defensive player of the year candidate and a running game and a stellar wide receiver set and a difference maker at that spot. Yeah. I'll say that's expected.
You're a little,
coming up soon.
Little high.
No. I'll register. I will say that's a proper reaction to what I'm seeing. Yeah.
All right. We're talking a lot about him. Sorry, TJ, but the Cowboys' defense is going to cost them a playoff spot.
Spot on. I said it before the season, and I've watched them just absolutely disappear in three straight games, three of them. See you later, man. You know, and then you could even make the case that Jared Goff and the Rams chopped him up too. So they've yet to arrive in 2020. And this just in, there's a fifth game of their season coming up. So late window on Fox. Later, the whole country will sit in and see if Danny Dimes can get win number one and stick it to Dallas.
That would be great.
Now, Dallas's defense is absolutely going to cost him a playoff spot. Yep.
All right, let's stay in the NFC East. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles saved their season last night in San Francisco.
I'll go overreaction just because if they were 0-3-1, they'd still be a half game out of first place in the division. And as you know, whoever wins the division gets the a home playoff spot.
But if they were 0-3-1 and Wentz kind of stunk it up, but he'd be getting a little louder for Hurts.
Had C.J. Beathard's Hail Mary or C.J. Beathard's constantly going over the middle with no timeouts left last night. Okay. Had his execution of the final drive been a little better, had his Hail Mary dropped into the arms of awaiting George Kittle on the ground as he was catching everything last night.
He was.
Then the Eagles would just be a half game out and we would be like, man, Wentz did it. I mean, it's just not going right for him. So I won't say it saved their season, but I'll say it was a necessary performance that they'll use moving forward, and they put them in first place, and it takes the pressure off. But I won't say saved their season.
All right, Buffalo looking great at 4-0. Josh Allen looks like an MVP. The Bills are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC.
Well, I mean, I'm going to just touch upon it here because I have already, you know, because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional, okay, Chris, I was sitting watching this game against the Raiders, and I picked the Raiders on NFL game day morning because I thought the Raiders team that showed up in that Monday night week two against the Saints was going to show up yesterday. And on occasion they did until Darren Waller put a ball on the turf. Josh Norman made the big play to knock it out. And then the Bills did what all excellent teams do. They take the opportunity that their defense has created for the offense and stuck it right where the sun does not shine and turn it right into 6 points on the spot. That's what excellent teams do. And I made the note to make one of my four downs tomorrow preview that the Bills are the team with the best shot to beat the Chiefs in the AFC this year.
Okay.
And I will expound upon that Tuesday. But you're either I'm overreacting because you've placed this in front of me as an overreaction Monday subject, or I think that is spot on. And I'll expound on it a little bit tomorrow. But you and I are on the same wavelength right there.
I like it. All right, last one, guys. You know, the media kind of buried the Saints too soon.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the people saying don't bury the Saints in Drew Brees just yet, right? After they lost. After that aforementioned Monday night game in Las Vegas, as they fell down 14 points yesterday in Detroit, as they lost the previous week, I just like, don't do it. So they survived Michael Thomas's sit down by winning yesterday in Detroit and improving to 2-2, which is still only one game behind the team that they have a tiebreaker on in that division. And I would not sleep on the New Orleans Saints, who finish up week five with at home against the Los Angeles Chargers, the last time Drew Brees will face, unless it's in the Super Bowl, the team that drafted him and then chose Phillip Rivers over him and did him the favor of sending him to free agency and connect with Sean Payton for the rest of his career. I think he will have an interesting say with his arm and his mind and his play in that game. And then after the bye, home for Carolina at Chicago, the huge Sunday nighter against Tampa. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said it at the time.
Yeah.
Do not bury the New Orleans Saints at the very time.
Good Brees stat on throws between 10 and 25 yards downfield.
Yes.
8 of 12 for 155 yards and a touchdown from Pro Football Focus.
So he was able to do it, target it, pull the trigger, and execute it. So he's not dead. Literally, yesterday's game against the Lions was the equivalent of him fogging up a mirror, is what you're saying. Certainly in that department.
The Undertaker.
That's
Jeff,
what I said at the time, and I fully believe it here, and it was wrong to bury him. That's Overreaction Monday here for this edition, post week four. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with a great human, as well as a man who is as funny and has got his finger on the pulse of so much going on in the world. The great Seth Meyers back here when we return to Peacock. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck powder spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck anti-chafe stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. And our radio audience will rejoin us in a second. You could see the Peacock lineup right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don Bowie, I'm going to talk to our EP in the back. Can you put the vote page up right here? Because I just want to remind everybody out there that it's time to register to vote if you haven't. And there are a handful of states for which today is the last day to register to vote. Texas, Florida, Georgia, Arizona, and Ohio. All of our friends and viewers and listeners out in those states right there. Today is your last day to register to vote in the November election. IamAVoter.com, RiseToVote.org, RockTheVote.org are all, there's three right there, nonpartisan. I want to stress that nonpartisan websites. It's not a partisan issue. It's an American issue. It's a democratic issue. Voting. And this is what makes us different, people, in many, many ways across this this globe that's burning up and causing games to get canceled and games to be postponed, et cetera, so on and so forth. So, vote. IamAVoter.com, RiseToVote.org, RockTheVote.org are three nonpartisan sites. Texas, Florida, Georgia, Arizona, and Ohio. All right, folks, it's time to register to vote and check and have a plan because Election Day has already begun in many states with early voting. That's how we're rolling here on the Rich Eisen Show. And our radio audience has returned right here on our triple cast. Let's call it the triple cast. We're thrilled to be exclusive on Peacock, as we have been for some time. We've been on Peacock, but now we're exclusive Peacock. If you want to see us, go to PeacockTV.com. Oh, I should. When I say that, I'm talking to people who are watching.
Yeah, they're already watching.
Thanks for being here. And you can watch this gent do his work on Peacock as well prior to seeing it on NBC. The late night begins on Peacock at 8 Eastern with Jimmy Fallon, and then at 9 Eastern with a longtime friend of this program. I love being on his show late night with Seth Meyers. And Seth is going to host Closer Look Thursday, this Thursday, October 8th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC, airing live Eastern time from his late night studio in Rockefeller Center. Seth Meyers here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Seth?
I'm doing well. And, you know, I do think you should let the Peacock viewers know that it's exclusive because they're watching you right now and they want to know some other suckers aren't watching it anywhere else. You know, you got to be where they are.
You know, that's a nice broadcasting trick to make people who are watching feel more special.
Exactly. Mm. There's a velvet rope outside and you're inside.
That's or they are tall enough to ride this ride.
essentially. Absolutely. Maybe it's a better way of saying
that's, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I guess we're measuring them by their subscription to Peacock is essentially what go. I'm saying. How are you doing? How's life for you, Seth? You're back in studio. It's great to see you there. It's great to see you doing your thing.
Yeah, it's been about a month back in the studio. It was definitely a weird transition back, but, you know, the last 7-8 months have been all about weird transitions, and it's obviously a very different place. We don't have an audience. We have limited crew, but it does feel right to be back in the building, especially with all the safety protocols that they've put in place for us here.
Okay, and these are things that I noticed as a follically challenged man, and I didn't expect to start this, but I just saw a photograph of you there, and I've been noticing all the videos and stuff that I'm watching. Have you not gotten your hair cut in a while, Seth?
I've got a light trim, but we did go back to long hair over the course of the pandemic.
God bless you.
And, it, you know, I think when you reach a certain age, I'm on the other side of 45.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that it takes a lot for you to do a makeover. Ultimately, okay. In my case, it did require a worldwide pandemic to decide that I could switch my look up. I think it's either that or a divorce, and since I'm happily married,
God bless you.
This is what I ended up with.
Fantastic. How much sports have you been able to watch in your personal bubble with your kids, your fatherhood?
Baseball didn't take off for me, but the NBA bubble did.
Okay.
And certainly football is the the exact same intake. Although, you know, until the Big Ten starts up, I really haven't watched a snap of college football. But I've been happy with the NFL. And I haven't, you know, as much as I would obviously be happier if there were fans in the stands, I find myself exactly as invested as I would be without them there.
No, I mean, I get lost in it, too. And I know that the sound that's being pumped in is canned, you know, like it's made up.
Yeah.
I think last night during Sunday Night Football, which was great, they did one series without the canned noise, just hearing what's in the stadium, and I found that fascinating. But the Steelers are your team, so you must be quite excited with the way that they
started. I'm quite excited. Look, last year in the end was more exciting than it had any right to be, and that the Steelers were ultimately alive going into the last week of the season. But it was a real slog of a season to watch without Roethlisberger. And
right.
So, you know, when you start a season 0-3, and then you come back the next year and you're 3-0, I'm perfectly happy, delighted with how things are going so far.
Well, I mean,
save for the fact that we had an unscheduled bye week.
Well, I know that. Yeah, I know. But they seem to be, you know, buttoned up defensively in the manner to which you've grown accustomed as a Steelers fan. So far over the years.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Steelers fans. It's not, we don't just want you to win. We want you to win the way we're accustomed to.
Right.
So, you know, there were a few years where the Steelers, you know, were scoring a lot of points and giving up a lot of points. And even if you were a playoff team, people in Pittsburgh would say, you know, this is my first choice on how I'd like them to win. So right now it's been really nice to watch.
Yeah, I remember. The reason why I said that is because I remember a few years ago when the Steelers were putting up like 40 points a game and Ben was throwing for 500 yards, that Steelers fans were enjoying the wins, but they quite didn't know how to handle not pounding the football and playing defense and winning tight ones 20-17. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, there's like a joke a friend of mine said, you know, how many people in Pittsburgh that take the screw in a light bulb, one to screw, I think it's five, like one to screw it in and four to talk about the Steelers in the 70s. Some version of that. I've told it badly,
pretty
but
good.
You get the point.
That's fantastic.
And,
that's fantastic.
And, you know, when you're that successful for a decade, people like it that way. And it does. It is the style that matches up with the psyche of the city. And I think it's very rare for that to happen. But, you know, when it matches up right, it's a nice fit.
And I guess we'll, this is what I try to do as a broadcaster, Seth, is tie things together. And what we talked about, your hair, and then now the Steelers. I'm wondering if you caught the photograph of Ben during the pandemic, and that might have scared you because he looked full. We've got the photograph up here, full Duck Dynasty beard going on. And it was kind of hiding up what could have been a not ready for playing physique. And I'm wondering if that might have been concerning at the time. And we have seen, obviously, Ben be ready to roll since then. I'm wondering if you
caught
that. Yeah,
there was a fullness, not just to the beard, but a general fullness, I would describe.
Yes.
the winter Ben look. But, you know, I think when a 38-year-old guy who's obviously seems very happy with his family life, when he makes a decision to come back, he has to know that, you know, the body has to be in a certain place or else it's not worth it. And so, but it's been really nice to see.
Seth Meyers here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, Seth, I get a lot of stick to sports whenever I, you know, stick my my thumb up to test the political winds and might tweet something or like something. I wonder what your philosophy has been in these times, if you get stick to comedy stuff or what your two cents has been as we're getting, again, ready to see your closer look Thursday night.
Well, I will say when I was both in middle school and high school, when I played sports, most of my coaches said stick to comedy. So,
okay.
I've certainly never heard stick to sports at no point.
Yes, I get that this quite a bit.
This is a very true story, which is I tried out for football.
Okay.
And the football coach in my high school was the dad of a friend of mine. So I knew him as a friend's dad first. And no one who tried out for football in my high school got cut. You just made the team. I was the only person in the 4 years I was in high school who got cut. And what he did was he brought me in and he said, look, I'll keep you on the team, but I just feel like you have better things to do with your time.
Come on.
This is a true story. And he cut me. And I was so mad at him because it was so embarrassing. It was noted not just by me. It was noted by many that I was the only person to be cut in my 4 years in high school. And then he became the guidance counselor at my high school.
Okay.
And I got on SNL, and I went back to speak at my high school, and I walked in the hallway, and I'd been mad at him for over a decade. And I saw him in the hallway, and he pointed at me, goes, "What did I tell you?" And it was this incredible moment because I realized, oh, I've been mad at this guy who was so right. I mean, the only other way is that I come back as an NFL player and I point at him.
That's right. He gave you proper guidance.
So certainly I've never heard the same story. But, you know, I will say, look, I think that all late-night shows, or certainly a lot of them, I think the audiences have a sense of what's authentic from each host and what they're going to get. You know, none of us are sort of running our opinions through any sort of machine. It's not like the network's coming to us and saying, we'd really like if you thought this instead of you thought that. So while I appreciate that there's certain people who would only be frustrated to watch a show like ours, you know, we're trying to make sure that if you're watching me, I'm telling you things I believe. And we try to back it up. And hopefully people can appreciate that if they don't agree with us, at least we're not telling you things that aren't fact-based.
Right. And again, that's Late Night with Seth Meyers, airing weeknights, 12:35 a.m. on NBC. So what should we expect on Closer Look Thursday? It's coming up right after the VP debate, so that'll be heavy on that.
I mean, Rich, look, if you'd asked me on yesterday morning what can we expect tomorrow, I would have been wrong.
It is insane. You're right.
One of the things I keep saying is there's been a weird, if you look for silver linings in bad situations, I do feel as though I've gotten my weekend back in a way that I don't really have to pay attention to. I mean, this weekend was obviously an exception because of the magnitude of it, but more often than not, what's new Saturday is not worth having on TV on Monday because it's so far in the rear view. So you have to, it's a little bit, you know, I did come from a background as being an improviser, and part of being an improviser is you live in the moment because it's not about planning ahead of time. It's about being in a position to react quickly. But, you know, the reality is we're doing a live show on Thursday, and we'll see. You know, obviously we'll go into it thinking it'll be about the VP debate, but I find it hard to believe that something won't happen over the course of Thursday that will bump that.
Of course. You never know. What'd you think of Jim Carrey's Joe Biden? What'd you think of that?
I thought it was really good. You know, I think it is a tricky impression. I in my era, I thought Sudeikis did an incredible job. You know, for somebody to line up with Alec Baldwin, I think Jim Carrey obviously is that same sort of pedigree, and it was really fun to watch.
Okay, walk me through a couple minutes we have left here. Seth Meyers joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through what happens in the halls of SNL and the writing room when a debate like the one that we saw between Trump and Biden happens. What happens? Does a siren go off or an actual literal siren go off?
Well, I think there is a siren going off ahead of time. And I will say that when I was there, you know, in the last round of debates, presidential debates, I worked on the show was, 12.
Okay.
Everybody sits around. You sort of group write the debates in that. Anybody can sort of send in a joke or whatnot. Because of the structure of debate sketches, it's a lot of Q&A, so anyone can have a small thread of an idea that if you're the person in charge of sort of putting it all together. You try to keep your ears open because that tends to get the most out of a situation like that. I mean, this was a tough one because it did look like there had been a debate we all missed and we were watching the SNL version of it.
Right.
So I did not, you know, I texted Jost and Shay, you know, even before this weekend's news happened that again skewed what the perspective on everything was. But I, you know, I oftentimes long for my days at SNL and something happens and I think, oh, I wish I worked there. I did not feel that after watching that debate.
That is funny and sad, all wrapped in one soundbite right there, yeah. Seth. I'll be honest with you, you know, because again, so because right, I imagine though some of the things that you're doing on your show, although it is not meant as satire, it is meant as comedy. It's not far off, you know, from everything that's going on in the crazy ass world. Obviously, you're having more commentary of serious nature, but I mean,
it's still, you know, we always, you know. As people will say, you know, do you really think you're changing anyone's mind? And if there's any mind we hope to change, it's people who are on the fence about whether or not they're going to vote, right? I think I'd like to hopefully make you realize there is, you know, a pretty large weight to the idea of voting. Now, I also hope we provide some catharsis to people, because, again, I don't think we should be anyone's first news source. But I think if you watch the news all day, it might not be the wrong thing to do to watch a comedy take on it right before going to bed. If we can do that. Like, because, again, when you're on at 12:35, all you're trying to provide people is a good night's sleep.
Right. Yeah, you're speaking to somebody who did a 2 a.m. sports center for 7 years. So, you know, I totally know it, you know.
Look, I caught a few of those. I caught a few.
Which I'm pleased about. Hey, Seth, I look forward to coming on your show in November. And you've always been, you know, kind to having me on. But also, you come back, you know, I don't know if people know this, but you go back and you chit-chat quickly with the guest. And, you know, you make everybody feel so comfortable and so at home. So do you go in the virtual waiting room and do that? Do I get a mug sent to me as opposed to, cause I'm not going to be there, Seth, how's this going
to
work?
We will get a mug in the mail to you. There will be a mug dispensation for anybody.
Excellent.
But this is a Peacock thing. This is not a Rich Eisen.
Well, I've already got a Peacock mug right here. because you know, there may be an I in Rich and Eisen. I'm still a team player. I just want to make sure that, and again, I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that I'm going to be on and that it's just going to be, I'm virtual. I'm not physically going to be there.
Virtual, it is. I will say it's the, you know, we're managing to be as efficient as possible in these times. Like, it is strange to not have the chance to sort of say hello backstage, particularly with people who've been on before and I've been lucky enough to get to know over the time. So I do a little post-interview chat on the Zoom, Rich. So okay. We'll be able to catch up then.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. Thanks for the call. I look forward to Thursday night with Closer Look Thursday on NBC at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course every single night with you. Thanks for the call, Seth.
All right, all the best, Rich.
Be well. That's Seth Meyers. Bye. Closer Look Thursday again on NBC at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's going to air live from his late night studio in Rockefeller Center, and then again, Seth Meyers, Late Night with Seth Meyers. You can catch on Peacock before it hits network television. That's how you roll with this subscription.
Boom.
Every night at 9 Eastern Time. And then as you can see on the screen right there, you can watch this season and last season sitting right there in the archives for you. That's how we roll here on Peacock. So when you're done watching this channel, don't switch off now, please, because we still have a show and a half to get to. And Stephen A. Smith as well. There's a couple of games that we have not discussed at length from yesterday. I want to hit on that and get more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. That's how we're rolling. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back here on Peacock in just 2 minutes. Now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. because they know that where you shop matters. Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Which number to dial? We'll be taking your calls. We've got a news update from Chris Brockman coming up in the third hour. So many injuries, as always, from the football gridiron on a Sunday. Oh, I think we'll page Dr. Brockman. Get that drop ready, Mike. We haven't used that drop in quite some time. And then Stephen A. Smith will join us in hour number three. You'll have to stay here for that, T.J. Jefferson. I'm sorry. You'll have to sit here and take it.
Cowboys!
He's so damn funny, man. You know, there's a handful of games that went down yesterday that we really haven't hit. And we didn't really hit college football. Is there anything specifically from college football other than the fact that Oklahoma got beat again?
Yeah, they're out of the top 25 now.
How many teams are in the top 25 that have yet to play a game?
Well, there were three Big Ten teams in the top 10 last week. Standby.
So we're going to keep an eye on all of that as we're back here on the radio side of things on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to keep an eye on all of that for the radio audience that just joined us is the top 25 in college football. There were three teams that have yet to play a game, right?
Now it's down to two. Ohio State is sixth. They have yet to play, obviously.
Right.
And Penn State is ninth.
And over the weekend, congratulations to Pac-12 football. They got a schedule. We had David Shaw on Wednesday. And we're like, when are you going to get a schedule? It's like, it's a good question. They finally got it.
Oregon is 12th.
Now, Oregon is the other one that was in the top 10 prior to this week's play, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to say this again. As you know, I was questioning the decision for the Big Ten to even return. Because the science hasn't changed, the issues haven't changed in terms of getting the kids what they need to be safe in terms of the science, okay? Things may have changed in terms of rapid testing, but as you've seen in terms of testing, it's not perfect, and it's not the only thing that should be done to keep people safe. We're seeing that in the NFL. We're seeing that in the White House as more people who work in that beautiful building have tested positive today. So, you know, I was a little bit wonky in the fact of them saying they're coming back. And, you know, obviously I will be tuned in when Michigan starts playing football again. You even heard Seth Meyers say, you know, until Big Ten football returns, he hasn't paid attention very much to college football. I just want to say this. If I'm not mistaken, Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of Big 12 football, when the Big Ten announced it was coming back, was noncommittal. In terms of the Power Five, Big Ten to compete in the college football championship because they're starting late and they're not going to play as much as the other conferences. And to that I said at the time, good luck. Good luck telling fans of the Ohio State who went bonkers when the Big Ten decided to push the season. I mean, when I say bonkers, lost their collective minds. The number of Buckeye fans that I know that texted me saying, you got to do something about this. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I know I've got a microphone and a platform, but
I mean,
good luck telling the Ohio State people they can't be allowed in because they started late and all of that business. And assuming the Ohio State is the Big Ten representative in this equation. Now that Oklahoma has lost two times, you can forget keeping the Big Ten out because of the way that the schedule's broken. I don't even, honestly. See ya to that. I don't even care if the Ohio State loses once or twice or heaven forbid three times. Whoever beats them deserves to go. I don't even want to hear it. What? What? You don't think a Big Ten team should go because they're only playing seven games and they started later than everybody
else?
They
have to go undefeated.
Yeah.
Otherwise what? Then undefeated. SEC 2 goes? Or 2-loss Oklahoma goes?
Well, if you play,
if they don't lose again from here on out?
No, Oklahoma State's 3-0.
There you go.
BYU's 3-0.
So those teams should go over a Big Ten team who started late.
I mean, play seven games and one of them's a loss?
Yeah, you're out. See ya.
Especially if Ohio State loses to Iowa or somebody.
Well, I mean, as you're already seeing, the usual results aren't guaranteed. Georgia looked pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go over in your household this weekend?
It was a very good Saturday.
I just don't want to hear it. Oklahoma's lost twice. I don't want to hear it. And by the way,
no, they're not even ranked.
There'll be an undefeated Big Ten team. And it'll probably be the Scarlet and the Gray.
I mean, they're really good.
I'll tell you this. If it's my school, if it's my school.
Currently 20th.
If it's my school, well, we're always rated higher than.
I will say, somehow you guys went up in the rankings. You were 23 last week.
You know why we went up in the rankings? Because we're the University of Michigan.
Don't know what that means.
They got the Michigan bump.
Got great helmets. We're the leaders and best. But I'll tell you this. If it happens to be my school that goes undefeated, then I will do something about it from this chair. In a manner, I was unwilling to do something about it for all the Ohio State fans that are calling me up and texting me from my life. You got to do something. You got to say something.
This is Notre Dame's year.
Here are two words. Pound and sand.
Imagine if we got to play you in like the Notre Dame place.
Who's we?
Notre Dame. Oh, my
please.
Team.
We don't play you. We, meaning Michigan, the school I went to, okay, and that I have a degree from and that I give money to. Okay, that's
I've given money to Notre Dame.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I donated when they built the new stadium. I got a brick signed by Joe Montana.
Oh, you got a brick.
I got a brick from the old original stadium signed by Joe Montana at home. Play like a champion signed by Montana.
By the way, understand this. Giving to a school is not buying a piece of memorabilia.
It's like I'm alumni.
No, you're not.
It's close.
No, you're not. It's like a Packer fan saying, look at the certificate. I own a piece of the Packers.
I have a Packer stock, too. Oh, you know that. Of
course. Actually, that would give you more credence as a Packer owner than what you're trying to say.
We, meaning Michigan, don't play your school that you root for.
I don't have a football
because
team.
Because the school you root for decided to say, hey, Michigan, we're not playing you until an unborn child is bar mitzvahed. 13 years.
It's true. L'chaim.
L'chaim?
You just L'chaim me.
Wow.
The Notre Dame fan. I mean, just L'chaim me. Thanks, Mike.
I'm unilateral.
Well done.
I love that word, by the way.
L'chaim?
L'chaim.
To life.
Yeah.
Hey, you've seen Fiddler on the Roof. Is that why you know it?
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
The play and the movie.
To life.
Do we?
I know. Sorry.
Here's a couple games that nobody's talked about. Nobody's really talking. Or we have yet to talk about is Rams Giants. What the hell was that? You know what? I'll say this.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great at all.
I was watching it.
It's like the Rams sleptwalk throughout it. And but the Giants, hey man,
had a chance.
We could go higher register. They had more than a chance. Don't go higher register. They had a chance.
They settled for three field goals.
I know. That defense, that Rams defense is really, really,
really good.
Really good. And the Giants defense did put in the best performance we've seen against the Rams yet this year.
Rams were 13-point favorites.
I guess there's the first half in Buffalo, right, for the Rams. And then the entire four quarters yesterday, with the exception of Cooper Kupp breaking contain and going straight up the middle of the field like a flag football touchdown. Other than that, you know, they held Goff to just 200 yards. It was definitely not the Rams' best game, but there's no pictures on the in the standings, and they're 3-1. And I'll just say this: I'll repeat here what I said. Everybody's talking about Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate going at it. That's more of a TMZ story than anything else because there's a history between the two of these guys that I do not want to get into
there.
I watched the Giants yesterday, and as anybody knows on this show, and we appreciate you also taking in videos on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show, and our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. We appreciate that. You all know I had a lot to say about the Jets last week. Seeing what the Jets did at home in a pandemic on a short week against a kid from Boise State, the number of people when I said in my rant about the Jets that Brett Rippon's the first Boise State quarterback to start a game in the NFL. I know Kellen Moore started one, but we're talking about a Thursday night football game in a season where games are still of great import. 0-3, you got to win this game. They stuck Brett Rippon out there. I understand I was factually incorrect.
Well, we're mad at Kellen Moore anyway.
But he's now calling the plays for the Cowboys. Stephen A. Smith coming up. But the reason why I bring all this up now is you saw the way that the Jets played. Shorthanded, they're all banged up. They, on occasion, got things done, but played totally undisciplined, made so many mistakes that they could not even overcome that against a team that was traveling in a pandemic from two time zones away with a kid who had never started a game before and had just gotten his feet wet in a game just 4 days before. Jets lost that one. Giants go all the way across the country in a pandemic and without Saquon Barkley and with a running back who's just coming off the couch, right, in Devontae Freeman and a receiver core that is probably just as good as the Jets right now. I mean, the Jets have got Jamison Crowder and you know, the guys who are healthy are doing their best, but you put it all together and the Giants almost beat the Rams. So compared, I know they're both 0-4 and both in New York City, and it's the worst we've ever seen a season start for both New York teams ever. I don't recall the Jets and Giants ever both starting 0-4 the same season. But compared to the Giants, the Jets can't hold a candle. And compared to the Giants, in terms of playing hard, as cohesive as they can, and in the mold of their coach, they're like the 85 Bears compared to these Jets. That's one game we haven't really discussed, Washington and Baltimore either, because we just assumed that was going to happen. And, you know, Lamar running straight up the middle of the field, that's got to make Jack Del Rio sick. And, you know, Mark Andrews made some plays.
Yeah.
And again, if you fall behind to the Baltimore Ravens early, that's essentially a wrap. They're just going to keep hitting you in the mouth. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position. I don't know how much longer they're going to stick with Dwayne Haskins. You know, because the phrase is life is short and patience can be short. And I know he ran one in and he had 314 yards and he might've had his best game yet of the year. But when they needed to come up with plays early on, he did not. At least he held on to the football, you know, and Ron Rivera, as we all know, when I say life is short.
Big ups to Ron, man. Gosh,
it is, amazing. As you know, October, and we're talking about cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness, October. And a crucial catch is the pin that I'm wearing on my lapel, because that is what the NFL phrase of the month is. And get yourself screened, get yourself checked. The fact that Ron Rivera is coaching, he had a rough week, according to the team, according to him. He's got one more round of chemotherapy left. IVs being taken at halftime. He says he's coaching still because he knows that people are watching him and are being inspired by him. He's one of the best humans that I've gotten to meet in the NFL in my 17, 18 years. He's got three more weeks of treatment left, and Washington's next up against the aforementioned Rams at home. And again, I don't know how you make a quarterback decision in the middle of all this. He's more comfortable with Kyle Allen, I think. I just really feel it. But then, again, I'm not in there. And I know Haskins is trying. And he's also a local star from the area. And I hope it does work out for him. But Washington's fallen to 1-3. And I guess they could be in the same position as Dallas is right now. Just a half game out of first. You win a game against the Rams that nobody expects you to win, and Chase Young is out. He can come back and get healthy. They could be 2-3 and sitting in a tie for first place or even in first by themselves. You know? So they're not too far back in their next four games.
They could win all
against the Rams, yeah, and then they've got two against the Giants and then one against Dallas. They have it within themselves. I just don't know if it's going to be Haskins doing it. Or if he throws a pick, it'll suddenly be Kyle Allen doing it. But the Ravens bounce back. Your phone calls, Chris Brockman's news update, and then, oh, baby, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith coming up in hour number three. And we say to the radio audience, we will see you in just 3.5 minutes. But for the Peacock audience, we're still here. What other game have we not really touched on? We didn't touch on Minnesota and the Texans either.
I mean,
hey man,
that looked
like what the Vikings need. Timely touchdowns from Dalvin Cook, not with the game already over. Kirk Cousins doing the right thing. Thielen was alive. And then defensively, even though Harrison Smith got the gate. Did you see that?
He got ejected. I did not like that call.
Neither did I.
I was watching that game.
But does this team miss the running game? And does this team miss DeAndre Hopkins or what?
Hopkins.
I know earlier for Overreaction Monday, Chris, you know, one of the topics we didn't get to is about Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien. I want to hit on that in the third hour. I want to hit on that one. In Carolina, I should have. They were not too unlucky, right?
It wasn't too unlucky.
Yeah. I lone wolf Carolina. Thank goodness I did. Otherwise, I'd be
in deep
trouble.
They're looking nice.
Teddy Bridgewater, that juke move that he made around the 10-yard line yesterday.
Kyler Murray.
Carolina's 2-2, and Carolina's next up at Atlanta. If they win that game, they could create all sorts of problems for their rival in division, too. That's a big game. Stephen A. Smith, hour three, and you coming up.